In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Yesterday, we took the topic of the Word that was with the Father from the beginning became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And he was born in Bethlehem. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he was born in Bethlehem, even as the scripture proclaimed, the city of David would the Messiah be born in. And that's exactly what happened. I want you to know today that you're so loved, that God has so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. I tell you how much we need the scriptures today. We are living in an antichrist world, an antichrist world. You know, the judge that the president appointed, she's a Catholic, and they're going to give her a lot of trouble because they hate Catholics. And you know what? She is supported by the people of praise in her state. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus will win. Jesus will win. Jesus will win. And we know that he wins in our life. Do you know that today, that Jesus Christ wins in your life? You say, but oh, I'm bogged down. I'm bogged down by burdens. And I'm going to tell you, the cross is where you leave your burdens and you walk in faith. You can take those burdens and lay them at the cross and then begin to walk in faith. How important it is. I've told you the story about Gert Behenna. She wasn't raised in church. She was raised in a hotel with her father. They never talked about God. She didn't even know there was a God. But you know what? She had lunch with these two Christian young people. And they said to her, "You've got to leave your burdens to God." And she said, "It sounds like what the person in the hotel takes the bags up to my room." Well, if that's what it sounds like, that's what it means, to let the Lord take your burdens. She was on drugs and alcohol. She was hopeless according to the world. And you know what happened? That night when she went home, she was awful ill. And she got on her knees and said, "Sir." That's all she said. She didn't even know what to call him. And the Lord came into her life. The next day she went looking for a Bible. This is real. The burdens that you carry must be placed at the cross. You say, but there are so many. I tell you, many of you will be brought to the cross. If not, they will destroy you. Your burdens will destroy you. You do not want your burdens to destroy you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is God that wants you to leave your burdens at the cross. John 1, verse 35. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God, sacrificial, paschal Lamb, who will die for us, who will take our sins upon himself, who will draw humanity into his heart. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men into me." That's what he says. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" I'm going to ask you the same question. What are you looking for? I want to say I'm looking for Jesus. I need him. Oh, I need him. I'm hopeless without him. They said to him, "Rabbi," which is translated, means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Why does the evangelist tell us it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon? Because that's when the two disciples of John were converted. Oh, yes. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when we had new hearts, a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon when I was changed by the grace of the living God. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. I love Andrew. He brings people to Jesus. Andrew was Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed or Christ. He brought Simon to Jesus. That's what Andrew does. But you know what? I am Andrew. I want to bring you to Jesus. I want to bring myself to Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I want to bring myself to Jesus. Andrew not only brought Simon to Jesus, but also the little boy with his lunch. Andrew gives it to Jesus, the lunch, and Jesus multiplies the food from the little boy. Andrew brought the little boy to Jesus. Then, I believe in the 11th chapter of St. John, Andrew brings the Greeks to Jesus, the Greek Gentiles to Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, when I started this ministry, I wanted it to come about with Andrew, and I would say the Andrew Hour. I never made sense. But when we had to buy our equipment, I went to the store in Quincy, and the guy that was at the store said, "I heard you last night, and you were great. Why don't you call your radio ministry In Season and Out of Season?" And I said, "That's it. And you're Andrew." His name was Andrew. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I knew it had to do with Andrew. I didn't know it had to do with that Andrew, but that's what it was. Jesus, who looked at Simon and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter, or rock. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." And you know, it's amazing. He just says to these people, "Follow me." I think the gaze of his eyes draw people to himself. It's wonderful. What do you ever say to me when I was a little boy? Follow me. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. As a child, I was with Jesus. Mary brought me to Jesus. That's my witness. I knew Mary, but she brought me to Jesus. She is the great disciple that brings people to Jesus. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth was a no town, a hick town. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He's speaking and slurring that Nazareth will never bring anything good because it was a little town. Philip said to him, "Come and see." "Oh, yes. Come and see. You have an appointment with Jesus today. You could come and see him in the spirit. And you can give him your life in the spirit. You can say, 'Jesus, I give you everything. I surrender my life to you.'" When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite. Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no guile, no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." He went by saying, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But because Jesus saw him under the fig tree, he says, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." I wonder what was happening under that fig tree. I think Nathanael had a great revelation of God. That's what I think. We don't know. None of us know because it's not written. And he doesn't tell us what it is. But he goes from, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" to "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Something great happened under that tree. Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." That's Jacob's vision. He saw the angels ascending and descending. But Jesus said these angels that are ascending and descending will be ascending and descending on the Son of God. Chapter 2. This is the third day. There was a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. I tell you, I was in the Holy Land 1 year, and there was a wedding going on in Cana. Really. And they invited us in. Oh, they had baklava, they had a lot of cookies, they had a lot of sweets. But the groom wasn't there. The bride was there, dancing with other women, but the groom wasn't there. So I said, "Where is the groom?" "Oh, he's being prepared to meet his bride. His attendants are washing him, perfuming him and making sure he is as clean could be. You know, in the West, we sing, "Here comes the bride." In the Middle East, it's "Here comes the groom." The groom was getting ready to meet the bride. I tell you, the real groom, Jesus Christ, is getting ready to meet his church. Are you part of it? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? He is the real groom. Do you know that today? Do you believe that today? The mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour, the hour of crucifixion and resurrection, has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Mary knows that Jesus can do something. How does she know that? Because I bet Mary saw Jesus doing things when he was a boy. I bet Mary saw things that Jesus did when he was a boy. Do whatever he tells you. And I'm going to tell you, that's what Mary tells me. Do whatever Jesus tells you. What does she say to you? Do whatever Jesus tells you. How do I know what Jesus tells you? It's in the scripture. It's in the church. Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. And you know what? You'll never grow weary of doing it. And you'll never grow old, really. You know, I'm now 74. But I don't consider myself as old. Even though my body feels pain, I don't think of myself as old. I'm not old. I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. And in Jesus, I'm not old. Not old at all. Do whatever he tells you. Now, standing there were six stone water jars from the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." This is amazing. Take it to the chief steward. So they took it. And when the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it was coming from, through the servants who had drawn the water knew. The steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when the inferior wine later, after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." I tell you, the good wine is Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, the good wine is Jesus the Lord. He is the good wine. Oh, yes, tonight, by the grace of God, I will drink his blood. Hallelujah. I will eat his body. I will, by the grace of God. And you know what? He comes to live in us sacramentally. And you know what he wants? That we would adore him, that we would love him, that we would place our trust in him as he is in us sacramentally. Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. It's the first sign. The first sign, the first miracle, the disciples believe in him. Oh, yes. But this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they remained there a few days. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. The only way to get to Jerusalem is you climb up the mountain to Jesus, to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers were seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me. Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. When he was in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, many believed in his name because they saw the signs that he was doing. You know, by the grace of God, the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd of October, we're doing three experiences. It's a crusade, and it'll be on WROL and WEZE. It's between 6 and 7 o'clock, the 21st, the 22nd, and 23rd. And it's going to be wonderful, by the grace of God. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be virtual, but it's going to be wonderful. Oh, yes. I remember when I was at St. Adelaide's, we rented a tent. I loved being under a tent. And last summer in Woburn, we were under another tent. I loved the tent because Jesus tented himself among us, he who is the Lord. But Jesus, on his part, would not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to testify about anyone, for he himself knew what was in everyone. Do you know that Jesus knows what's in you? Do you know that he knows what's in you? And he loves you. He cares for you. He's got a plan for you. Do you know that? The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. What have you learned today? Well, I'm going to tell you what Mary says and said and will say. Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.